It carried them. The fact that the music was recognisably French made no difference. There was a commonality here, a shared spirit. Benjamin felt utterly at home in this music.
"Turn that racket off, can't you?" Collins said. "Can't we listen to the news?"
Benjamin let the last 30 or 40 seconds of the movement play out, then switched to Radio 4. It was the PM programme, and immediately they were plunged into a familiar world of gladiatorial combat between interviewer and politician. In 1 week's time, there would be a general election. Colin would vote Conservative, as he had done in every British election since 1950, and Benjamin, as usual, was undecided, except in the sense that he had decided not to vote. Nothing they were likely to hear on the radio in the next 7 days would make any difference. Today's big story seemed to be that the Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, fighting for re-election, had been caught on microphone describing a potential supporter as a sort of bigoted woman, and the media were making the most of it. "The Prime Minister has shown his true colours," a Conservative MP was saying, gleefully. "Anyone who expresses these legitimate concerns is simply a bigot, in his view, and that's why we can never have a serious debate about immigration in this country." "But isn't it true that Mr. Cameron, your own leader, is every bit as reluctant?" Benjamin turned the radio off without explanation. For a while, they drove in silence.
"She couldn't stand politicians," Colin said, bringing some subterranean train of thought to the surface and not needing to specify who he meant by she.
He spoke in a low voice, thick with regret and repressed emotion.
"Thought they were all as bad as each other. All on the fiddle, every one of them. Fiddling their expenses, not declaring their interests, holding down half a dozen jobs on the side."
Benjamin nodded, while remembering that in fact it was Colin himself, not his late wife, who was obsessed with the venality of politicians. It was one of the few subjects on which this habitually taciturn man could become talkative, and perhaps it would be better to let this happen now, to stop him from being distressed by more painful thoughts. But Benjamin rebelled against the idea. Today, they had bid farewell to his mother, and he wasn't going to let the sanctity of that occasion be tarnished by one of his father's rants. "What I always liked about Mum, though," he said, by way of diversion, "was that she never sounded bitter about stuff like that. You know, if she disapproved of something, it didn't make her angry, it just made her sort of sad."
"Yes. He was a gentle soul," Colin agreed. "One of the best."
He said no more than that, but after a few seconds took a grimy-looking handkerchief out of his trouser pocket and wiped both eyes with it, slowly and carefully.
"It's going to be weird for you," said Benjamin, "being by yourself. But I know you'll manage. I'm sure of it."
Colin stared into space.
55 years we were together. "I know, Dad. It's going to be tough. But Lois will be close by a lot of the time. And I'm not far away, either. Not really."
They drove on. Benjamin lived in a converted mill house on the banks of the River Severn, on the outskirts of a village just northeast of Shrewsbury. The house was approached down a single-track road, overhung with trees, its hedgerows densely overgrown on either side. He had moved to this absurdly remote and secluded spot at the beginning of the year, the sale of his two-bedroom flat in Belsize Park having funded the purchase, with enough capital left over to support his modest lifestyle for a few years to come. The house was far too big for a single man, but then he had not been single when he had bought it. There were 4 bedrooms, 2 sitting rooms, a dining room, a large open-plan kitchen complete with arga, and a study with generous leaded windows overlooking the river. So far, Benjamin had been extremely happy there, dispelling his friends' and family's early suspicions that he had made a terrible mistake. The house was full of treacherous corners and steep, narrow flights of stairs. It was entirely unsuitable as a place to bring his 82-year-old father. Nonetheless, with some difficulty, Benjamin managed to get him out of the car, up the stairs into the sitting room, up the next flight of stairs, shorter.